Well, good morning. I say good morning because I don't know if it's morning when you're listening to this message or not, but where I am, it's morning, and I'm recording this on Thursday, September the 30th. Can you imagine? Tomorrow is October already. I love October because that's the month that I was born in, but I like October because of the weather here in North Florida. I just think we are so blessed to live in an area where we have fall, which is just beautiful, almost like Hawaii weather. You know, it's high in the low 80s and high 70s and the low in the evening, anywhere from 55 to 60. No humidity. What a joy. Well, our youth message today, and I say youth because I try to do this and bring a message that for all the children of God, no matter what age group we're in, we're all young at heart if we have Jesus in our heart. Amen. So our scripture text this week is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 2 through 16. Now, this particular scripture is Jesus was talking about a subject that is really hard. He's talking about divorce and marriage, and then he also is blessing the children. New Living Translation, hear God's word. Then Jesus left Capernaum and went southward to the region of Judah into the area east of the Jordan River. As always, there were crowds, and as usual, he taught them. Now some Pharisees came and tried to trap and ask him a question, which they did always. Should a man be allowed to divorce his wife? Red Letter Edition, Jesus answered him and said, what did Moses say about divorce? Well, he permitted it, they replied. He said man nearly has to write his wife an official letter of divorce and send her away. But Jesus responded by saying, he wrote those instructions only as a concession to your hard-hearted wickedness. But God's plan was seen from the beginning of creation, for he made them male and female. And this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. And the two are united into one. So they are no longer two, but one. Let no one separate them for what God had joined them together. Later, as he was alone with his disciples in the house, they brought up the subject again, and he told them, whoever divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and remarries, she commits adultery. Verse 13, talking about the children. Now, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so that he could touch them and bless them. But the disciples told them not to bother him. But when Jesus saw what was happening, he was very displeased with his disciples. And he said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you, anyone who doesn't have their kind of faith will never get into the kingdom of God. And then he took the children into his arms and placed his hand on their heads and blessed them. You know, there's always been a lot of artist renditions about Jesus and different things because we really don't know what he looked like, although it says in Scripture that he was comely, which meaning he just literally looked like everybody else at the in the day and the time that he was here. But the one thing about Jesus is that they took the children in those artist renditions. You'll see Jesus sitting there with the children on his lap or surrounding him. Very similar to what we try to do in church when we do what we call a children's message. We want the children to be involved, and we want them to be taught by Jesus. And how can you teach them? By Jesus, when he's not here, is through the Word of God, and we're grateful for that. So, you know, children are powerless sometimes, or at least we think that they are, but you have to empower the powerless. And I think all of us have taken tests. I know I have taken quite a few in my day and time, and not always were the results that great. Or maybe even take the thing I hate really doing is taking a test on the internet. It just drives me crazy because every once in a while I know I just clicked the wrong thing and maybe I realize what I did and fix it. But growing up, I didn't want nothing to do with school. I didn't like school. I wanted to be out in the workplace. And when my dad said to me after he got Lou Gehrig's disease, "Well, would you quit school to help run the family business?" I said, "You betcha I would." Because I didn't like school that much, but I enjoyed being out and about. And I come to realize that I really didn't need, although I later in my life did go get a GED, but in them years, I didn't really need a education of high school or college to earn a good living. So that was a wonderful blessing. But then later in life, I took a test that was designed to highlight certain characteristics about us and about our character and about our personalities and all that kind of stuff. And I took that test when I declared my candidate for ministry. They gave me one of those tests to find out what kind of character I truly was. But some types of tests are not about self-improvement or even identifying strength or weeding out those who don't conform to certain bars or standard, you know, like the legal bar, the CPA test, the certified public accountants take a test to make sure they're qualified to be a CPA, or even the SATs, and even sometimes competitive tests about all kinds of things that measure the skills that are placed upon us. And these people giving the test then will determine how fair we did on the predetermined scale. Now think about the many kind of tests that we have in our world. We have COVID tests now, which is important, but for some people it would be nearly impossible to go through a single week without going through some kind of testing procedure, whether it's at the doctor's office, and test for this, and test for that. Why are we so enamored with tests? I don't know. While tests do encourage us and improve and help us to reach our goals and even find out about our physical condition, they can also serve as ways to separate people into preconceived groups or to establish control and power of the testing group as opposed to those who are tested. Now, for many of us, myself included, testing helps to establish boundaries, rules, and guidelines to live by. Every social community has lives for a set of guidelines or laws, even if they are unwritten ones. You know, the unwritten law or the unwritten guideline? You see, without guidelines, we quickly become confused about who we are, what purpose is in our lives. Our lives are lived within a series of frames. Well, with all that being said, sometimes when rules are not benefiting a society on the whole, and certain people are testers and others are compliers, and when control and power of the testers grow, and those following the rules feel the bar rising to impossible limits and imbalances begin to grow, we're experiencing some of that in our society today, and at that point, sometimes social guidelines no longer benefit the community. They only benefit those in power. Dissatisfaction begins to grow. Creativity is squelched, and voices are silent, and people begin to wilt. You know, like a flower without water, and it wilts. And with growth is stifled, testing is no longer fun. No longer a means for improvement or innovation, but it's become an exact opposite. The way we keep raising and people and rising and putting people down and competitive people then become invisible. It's a challenge. Jesus had a way of challenging these kind of tests. You know, rules and laws and boxes and all that, even, well, messing with the heads of the testers. The testers in this case was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And It's just, well, the scripture today. We see a prime example of Jesus' biblical sparring skills, and he did. They were always testing him. They were always trying to trap him, because the Pharisees were trying to trip him up to let the people know, hey, this you don't need to follow this guy, you know. Test after test, even on Jewish purity laws, they challenged him, or even the oral Torah, Levitical guidelines, and the laws of Moses. And this time in Mark chapter 10, no different. They tried in vain to challenge him with scripture. But Jesus always had a witty answer that would provoke and surprise them. Jesus not only knew the scriptures inside and out, well, primarily because he wrote them, he knows them. But he knew the social and religious politics of the day, the issues of buoying the power of the temple. He knew the suffering of those who were executed as insider politics, if you would. The ill and the infirm, the widow, the divorced, the orphan, the poor, especially women and children. The powerless of the powerless, if you would. And that's why they all came to him to try to trap him, because they, religious people of the day, didn't like what he was teaching. He was teaching truth, and they really didn't like it. And him, especially being a Jewish rabbi with Jewish rules on divorce, and Jesus was ready for them. But to understand this test, we need to understand a little bit about divorce rules of the time. You see, in Jesus' day, different than what it is today in the 21st century, in that day, women could not own property. They could not make major decisions or survive reasonably on their own, self-supporting, if you would. And this is the reason for much of the emphasis in the Jewish tradition on taking care of orphans and widows. In fact, rules were set up so that women could be taken care of. The Levitical marriage stated that if a woman's husband died, one of his brothers or another member of the family would be under obligation to take her as his wife, and that she would be taken care of. This was considered the honorable thing to do. To lose one's husband then would be disastrous for a woman if she had no living parents or brothers or even a husband that divorced her. Now, women could not ask for a divorce. Only a man could divorce a woman. You know, aren't you glad that we don't live in those day and times anymore, and that we have a modern society, and Jesus came to fulfill the law, not to do away with it, but to fulfill the law with love and grace? Well, the usual reason a man might divorce a woman was due to infertility. You know, it was terrible if you couldn't have a kid, especially a boy kid, because the emphasis was bearing children in order to carry on the family name, the family business, if you would, and all those qualities were very important at the time. People in those days understood nothing about male and female fertility. They didn't have ultrasounds and tests to see if you were pregnant. But if a woman could not get pregnant, it was the fault of her. It's her fault she couldn't get pregnant. And often a charge would be trumped up against her, such as adultery or disrespect, so that a man could divorce her and marry a more fertile woman. This, however, was often a sentence for poverty for her. So when the Pharisees came to Jesus wanting him to sanction their divorce laws, using scripture to back up their practices, Jesus was always sly as a serpent but gentle as a dove. He knew what to say. He said, Moses wrote this commandment for you because of your unyielding hearts. They had started out asking him, does the law of Moses allow to divorce his wife? Well, the Pharisees were testing Jesus to see if he would uphold the scripture they had chosen to back up for their corrupt practices towards women. You know, you have to be careful some days too. Preachers and other people will use the scripture to justify their own little thoughts and so forth without knowing exactly God's will in the scripture. But anyhow, Jesus went on and said, what did Moses command you? They answer, well, Moses allowed a man to write a divorce certificate to the wife. Instead of Jesus nodding in agreement and satisfying their powerful lust, Jesus replied, Moses wrote this commandment for you because of your unyielding hearts. God gave you a commandment because you need guidelines. Otherwise, you'll behave even worse than you do already towards the powerless in your midst. Humans, he says, must not pull apart what God has put together. We use something similar to that in a marriage ceremony. What God has joined together, let no one put asunder. Jesus knew how to uphold the laws of Scripture, and yet challenged the Pharisees' interpretation and to misuse them at the same time. Now, the Pharisees could not thwart him. Their test could not fail him. They could not trick him. For every question was about law. And Jesus gave a rational answer. For every legal challenge, Jesus challenged back with a relational counter. You know, he always, that was a good way of teaching. Yes, you take a question with the question. And while laws and guidelines are there for us because we are people who need structure, we certainly do, to know who we are and to understand our goals and each other, our greatest goal is our relationships. God made everything and everyone to be in relationship. And this is where we find true growth. Revelation about who we truly are, joy as a people and a community. And for every generation from Jesus' time on, we have come in some way to look to Scripture to back up personal, human design power structures, whether beginning with laws like the blue laws. Now, I'm from Pennsylvania originally, and I'm not sure if they had blue laws in Florida, but we had blue laws in Pennsylvania, and you couldn't do nothing on Sunday. It was really cool in some ways. In other ways, it was kind of, well, it was restricting. And sometimes some of those laws became harmful, even allowing slavery. These systems and legal allowances that undergirded test the power, and they're controlled by quoting Scripture. And we still are doing some of that today, aren't we? Jesus teaches us today in the Scriptures were not written to be used as tests or laws or power welding sentences. They were used to teach us about who we are in a relationship with God. And who we are in a relationship with the world that He has given us to live in. Who we are in relationship with each other. And who we are in relationship even with ourselves. You know, we have a relationship with ourselves. I hope you like yourself. I know I like myself. And I'm in relationship with myself all the time. Good, bad, and indifferent. But the moment we begin to use the Scripture as weapons, at the moment we have entirely misunderstood the Scriptures and the one who wrote them. Jesus came to us declaring a new kind of covenant, a new kind of community. That's why we're spending so much time on the teaching of Jesus in the Gospels. Because they were based on mutual love, care, and respect, and more importantly, peace. And I hope and pray that the joy of the Scriptures are revealed to you, and the truth they reveal to us about our lives and our lives with each other. Even more so, may we reveal the joy of Jesus, our Savior, who is the way, the truth, and the life. An advocate of truth, an advocate with the Father, and an advocate with all. May God add His blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of His holy and precious Word. And I pray that you have a wonderful day.